As part of their annual report, the American Lung Association has given six Wisconsin counties failing grades despite overall improvement in Wisconsin air quality. Sheboygan and Milwaukee counties remain in the top 25 most polluted areas nationally for ozone, though they have fewer unhealthy ozone days than they had in recent years. Angela Tin is a national senior director for the American Lung Association. Angela, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Before we get into the report on what we found in Wisconsin, let's talk about the pollutants you were looking at. And there's two different ones. I want to take them one at a time. First of all, ozone levels. Can you talk about what they are and why we worry about them?
Yes. What ozone is when nitrogen oxides, which come from combustion materials, combine with volatile organic carbons and sunlight and produces ozone. We know of it as smog or fog or some type of haze in the air.
And what does it mean for our health when we have those bad air days where we have that measurable ozone level in breathing range?
It affects our health, and it also affects our climate. What happens is that the air has to be clean in order to take good breath. And so what happens is that it causes congestion, it causes asthma, it causes lung disease, COPD, and especially harmful to the elderly who has impaired lung functions, and also to the young people who are breathing faster than normal rates.
And the other measures you looked at had to do with particulate matter in the air. What kind of things are we worried about there?
Particulate matter is usually of a particle size, and it's not just the solid material. There's also gaseous material on the particles, and they're very, very small, 2.5 to 10 microns. And they get, when they're in the air, also as a result of incomplete combustion, they go deep into our lungs and affects our lungs and causes the same type of lung disease and lung cancer.
This new report looks at federal measurements in many counties, but not all counties. And that kind of surprised me a little. Where do we measure these ozone levels and particulate levels? Where do we not year to year?
Okay. Year to year, the state Wisconsin DNR has to evaluate their monitoring plan. And right now they have close to 40 monitoring sites, and they evaluate the location of the sites based upon the population, the past levels of pollutants in the air. They also look at other things like effect to low-level ozone, low-level particulate matter. They look at the scale of the site. And so every year they make an evaluation. There's close to 40 of them throughout Wisconsin that are collecting data on a daily basis.
So here we are with your new report. What makes you decide to give a county a failing grade, as some Wisconsin counties did, when it comes to these ozone days?
Okay, so the Wisconsin DNR collects this data, and they feed it into a computer, which goes to the national EPA database. And every year, it's a three-year sliding scale. So this year, we're evaluating the data from 2017 to 2019. And we look at every single day in that year, and we look at the levels of which day is harmful. And we evaluate it on action day, like, for example, ozone action days, you know, when days are orange, red, or purple, or green. And so we count the numbers of days that it is not meeting the ozone standards, and then it gets a corresponding grade. And the six counties in Wisconsin continue to get an F grade.
Talking to Angela Tin, National Senior Director for the American Lung Association, looking at their new report card on a couple different types of pollution in states around the country. Ozone, particularly concerning here in Wisconsin. Angela, you just mentioned six counties. Where did you see problems around the state?
We saw problems in Kenosha County, Manitowoc County, Milwaukee County, Ozaukee County, Racine, and Sheboygan. And these are all counties that border along the Michigan, Lake Michigan.
So what does that translate into in terms of how many days a year a community might be facing those troublesome ozone levels?
Okay. Across the board, across the nation, the 2017 to 2019 calendar year days have been a little bit better for ozone. And we do have less days that are out of compliance, but they still have an F grade. For example, in Sheboygan County, on the last three-year evaluation, it was 13 days out of compliance. And this year for the 2017 to 2019, there were 9 days out of compliance. But even with 9 days out of compliance, it still has an F rating for that county.
What can a local government or a state government, for that matter, do to try to reduce these ozone levels and hopefully prevent these bad air days?
The problem is not in these days. In the past, the problem was, you know, industry, and we had local sources that were contributing to air quality problems. And right now, the airshed or the makeup of the air in any particular area is made up mainly of transportation sources. So whether it's cars or buses or trucks or planes or boats, any type of mobile transportation source is a complete incomplete combustion source. So therefore, as a part of operations, it puts out pollutants through the tailpipe and also through the vehicle itself, through the off-gassing of the petroleum fuels. So what can we do? We can do a number of things. We can choose to use alternative fuels, which reduces the petroleum composites, like, for example, ethanol, E85, E10, E15. We can use biodiesel in our fuels. We can use biodiesel in our transportation sources that use diesel fuel. And this is made from corn and ethanol. And so as long as we reduce the amount of petroleum coming out the tailpipe, we can improve air pollution.
Until then, for people who have some of the conditions you mentioned earlier, people who might be particularly vulnerable to ozone pollution, what kind of things can they do to monitor when there's a bad air day, and what should they, I guess, avoid on those days?
On those days, you know, there's the information out there now that's readily available that talks about the air quality index, and it tells you whether a day is a green day or an orange day. As we start to approach the warmer months, and the warmer months start in April, actually, you'll get a warning that it may be an orange day or a red day for ozone. And so what we can do to limit or to help improve the environment is perhaps use commuter transportation, reduce the number of vehicles by not driving into work. We cannot refuel during an ozone day. We can minimize the use of our gasoline motors, gasoline lawnmowers and things like that. So there's a number of things that we can do to help the environment. But most importantly, probably it would be best to stay in and try to make sure that you're not exposed to the bad air quality days.
I know you said the data set, the most recent data, takes us through 2019. Were there concerns about the impact of ozone days during COVID, since it's something that for many people affected their lungs?
Oh, yes, of course. So starting in March of 2020, we started getting a lot of calls from people saying, well, you know, there are a lot of people that are not going into work. The cars are not on the road. And so we think we see an improvement in air quality. And so people started paying attention to air quality because of the pandemic, which was kind of surprising to us initially. But we can understand why they're paying attention, because they want to breathe cleaner air. And so the pandemic got us to kind of recognize that air quality is improvement, just not for existing lungs, but to fight against future pandemics.
Focused mostly on the ozone pollution, still problems in the state there. One bit of good news, it sounds like, from the data you're looking at, that other kind of pollution you were measuring, the particle pollution, the state gets pretty good grades, or the counties that you're able to measure get pretty good grades, and seems like things have been improving over the time. What are you seeing for that kind of pollution in the state?
There's the particulate matter has gone down throughout the state and throughout the nation as far as short-term and long-term annual pollutant levels, even in counties that do not have an A grade, they go to a B grade, for example, they still are below the particulate matter standards. And so the state is in compliance with the standards. But you have to also remember that the standards that EPA passes are not, you know, there's not an endpoint. They're continually revising the standards and setting more tighter limits. So a county that is in compliance with particulate matter right now may not be in compliance the next year as the standards become more stringent.
As we wrap up, Angela, do you think we do enough to sort of mentally connect the dots between the quality of our air and the personal health for somebody with asthma or somebody who's older or otherwise at risk?
Sometimes we don't connect the dots because, you know, back in the 70s and the 60s, we thought that the pollution came from somebody else. And now what we're finding out in this century is that it's not coming from somewhere else. It's coming from ourselves and our mode of transportation. So, yes, we are being better at connecting the dot, but it's our choice that we need to make.
Angela, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Angela Tin is National Senior Director for the American Lung Association. She joined us to talk about the group's annual report on air quality and what we find here in Wisconsin.